Welcome to Startup Health Now, the weekly webcast that celebrates the healthcare transformers and change makers reimagining healthcare. My name's Unity Stokes, and today we have a very special guest, David Weingard, the CEO and founder of Fit4D. He's a healthcare transformer, and we've got a great conversation today about the world of diabetes innovation, lessons learned while raising your A round, and why sales solves everything. Stick around, it's going to be a great show.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. Well, I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Welcome, David. How are you?
I'm great.
So it's great to have you here. So Fit4D, amazing company, amazing mission. Just to sort of set the framework for the audience, what is the mission of Fit4D? Tell us a little bit about the backstory.
Sure. Fit4D is about improving the health of people with diabetes and empowering them in their life with diabetes 24/7.
And I know this is a personal mission for you. Maybe share sort of how the genesis of the idea and how Fit4D came to be.
Sure. I was working in the technology space for Microsoft and doing e-business. I didn't know anything about diabetes until I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 36. And it was a real life changer for me. I got to see the healthcare system live. I got to get great coaching from a diabetes educator, a clinician who has advanced training in diabetes, who gave me personalized support, helped me through all the learning that I needed to do, and got me on the road to health. And I realized that if we could take her passion and her skill and use technology to scale that diabetes educator, we could really do something incredible for the diabetes landscape.
So there was a moment for you, this aha moment, where you were at Microsoft at that point, or where were you? And was there a moment where you just told yourself, I want to be an entrepreneur, or how did that come about?
I was leaning toward doing something entrepreneurial. I think it was a longer journey that was on, you know, inside. But I was actually in the airport out in Colorado, changing planes to one of my Ironman triathlon races, when the combination of diabetes, technology, and virtual coaching came together. It was literally as we were grabbing food, going to the plane. I said, wow, this is amazing. If all these things coming together, we could do something big.
Did you?
So that was the moment. It just, you can't plan for it. It just happens sometimes.
Did you write it down? Did you call someone? Like, what happened?
I spent the whole plane ride writing notes and thoughts, and then we spent, you know, some time working on our business plan for the next few months.
That's incredible. And so oftentimes one of the things we see a lot at Startup Health is the most successful companies are all driven by someone who has a passion behind what they're building, and that's very clear here. You're also an athlete. You do triathlons, you've done Ironman. Talk about that and that experience having diabetes and maybe how that ties into the mission of what you're doing.
Sure. I've always loved doing marathons and triathlons, and I've been doing it my whole life. And it's taken on new meaning since I've been diagnosed, because now diabetes is working, challenging me 24/7. And when I wake up in the morning and I go out for a run or I do a swim or whatever it is, I feel like I've conquered diabetes for that day. I feel much more centered. Really helps my discipline as an entrepreneurial CEO, and it really makes a huge difference in my life. And part of what we do is we want to empower people with diabetes in their lives, and exercise is one of the best things people can do to feel that.
And That's interesting. In terms of what's needed in the world today to help people with diabetes, what's sort of the state of the union? What's going on with innovation in terms of helping people with diabetes today, and where does it need to go in your opinion?
Right, it's a great question. We're in a crisis right now in the United States and certainly in the world. There's over 30 million people with diabetes and 5,000 people being diagnosed every day. The care is spread out across pharmaceutical companies.
That's 30 million in the U.S.
In the U.S. alone, yeah. And there's over 300 million in the world. So it's growing. And the pharmaceutical companies, the providers and payers are doing their best in disparate programs to try to make an impact.
But what do you think's needed to really make that impact? What's missing today, and how are you trying to fill that gap?
Right. So the pharmaceutical companies are traditionally visiting doctors and trying to run patient programs and educate patients on taking their medication, because 40% of the patients who are prescribed a new diabetes medication don't take their first script. So for pharma, it's a $20 billion a year economic problem, but more importantly for the patients, if they're not taking their medication, their diabetes is going to go out of control and they'll have a high likelihood of health complications. So the system today is unfortunately not scalable. To send people, clinicians, to doctor's offices one by one by one, and then a lot of patients don't show up because they're busy or their schedule changed. It's not going to catch up with the growing rate of people with diabetes. Similarly, for payers, they're facing the same struggle. They may have a member services organization that's doing telehealth, but again, they're not putting diabetes expert clinicians together with patients and taking them through a logical progression, getting them to take their medications, lowering their A1C, which is their blood sugar. There has to be this intelligent, data-driven technology system like what we use, and plug in these great diabetes educators who know how to build a personal relationship with patients and help them over a period of time. We have patients, you call them and you ask them why you're not taking your medication, and they'll just say, I have a touch of sugar. What they're really saying is they're in denial that they have diabetes. So it's not about, a telehealth, or they need reinforcement. They need someone has their back, that's going to teach them, that's going to get to know them. And that's what we do. We come in and we build a trusted relationship with the patient over a period of time. We use email, text, telephone, online support groups. The patients know that we have their back, that we're going to help them, and we educate them and we explain it's more than a touch of sugar. If you don't take this medication, it's a high likelihood you'll have a heart attack or neuropathy or other complications down the line. It's really important that you take care of yourself.
So as you focus your business, it sounds like your customer is pharma or the payers, but your business is really focused on the patient. Is that how you think about your solution?
Right, absolutely. So we're here to help the patient. Due to the way the industry works, the healthcare industry today, the innovators actually have been pharma, who have this economic driver to improve adherence to their brand. So they pay us to take care of their patients, because for each script the patient fills, they make more money. A lot of them have altruistic reasons too. They do want to help their patients, so they know if the patients take the medication, they'll be healthier. The providers welcome that service because the providers are really busy taking care of so many patients that they don't have time to follow up whether the patients are taking the medication. They'll write the script, they'll spend a few minutes with the patient with the diabetes, and then until they come back, they don't focus in on it. So this is like air cover, helping the providers, making sure their patients take their medication. And then for the payers, more and more they're being measured on quality measures. In addition to the star measures for CMS, they all want to reduce A1C. The Accountable Care Organizations now have diabetes health measures. So how to do that in a scalable way is the problem they're trying to solve. And we're seeing payers kind of come alive over the last year. Just how do you do this? So now that we have data and results, it's been really great to see that momentum.
So are you seeing, you just mentioned momentum, are you seeing things differently in the market today than, say, 2-3 years ago? Are things changing?
Oh, absolutely. We were more of a diabetes education company as we founded, and we learned how to integrate technology to scale a diabetes educator using online events and text and video and all these good things. And now we have a product that's very focused on moving the dial for adherence for pharma and lowering A1C and improving quality measures for providers and payers. The last 2 or 3 years, it's been incredible. Pharma has really stepped up to the next level of delivering scalable patient programs. And the payers, again, driven by their need to deliver quality measures, are looking for innovative solutions how to solve that problem. And every payer is busy. Every chief medical officer is very busy. They have a very full plate. So they're looking for things that have demonstrated results somewhere else that they could put in, achieve it, and solve all the problems that they need to do.
So let's dig into your business. Congratulations, first of all. I know you just raised an A round recently.
Thank you.
Tell us about how the business is doing. Tell us, I know you've got a lot of customers now. How are things going? How is it being an entrepreneur, as an example?
It's incredibly exciting. I wake up every day and I can't wait to get to work. And you know, I purposely rent space in a building that has air conditioning and heat on weekends so I can get in there. It's just, you know, to be able to impact people's lives, and every day is really my passion. And it's really the passion of everyone on the Fit4D team. So we're right now, we're getting feeds from pharma clients like Johnson & Johnson, the number one insulin pharma company, and now multiple healthcare payers, where every day we get to work with these patients, and we help them for a period, and we improve their lives, and that's what we're about.
And you have amazing investors as well. Who are some of your backers?
So we started with angel investors, and then for the class Series A round,
were these friends, family, doctors?
In the beginning, though, for us, we realized that we had to sign real customers to get the evidence in the market to learn and innovate. So we really financed Fit4D in the early years through paying clients. So it brought money in, which gave us cash flow, and it also gave us the experience that we needed to build the product to where it is today. With a little extra money from angel investors, friends and family, until we just closed the Series A, and SJF Venture Capital was the lead, and an accountable care organization in New Jersey, Sovereign Medical, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska joined. And we're really excited to have all those investors because they share a passion about helping improve the diabetes landscape.
So there's a lot of good stuff in there. I want to make sure we unpack some of that. You said you started by focusing on customers and you really built the business. Can you dig into that a little? Was that before you had raised a dime, or did you have a little seed money to get going and then you just started focusing on the business model? How did that begin? What was the first few steps you took when you were getting going?
Sure. The first marketing plan after I had that idea in the airport was more a B2C model, where we opened up a website and we proved that virtual coaching worked. And we would have people pay for coaching, and we demonstrated results. What we learned very fast is that the motivated patients are the ones that self-pay. So we pivoted the model pretty fast.
And you were trying to go after the unmotivated.
Right. We knew that to have a big impact, that's the large part of the population. So we pivoted to work with companies in a B2B model that already have the relationship with patients. So our first pharmaceutical client was Bayer Diabetes. When I had spoken to the CEO there, she understood right away that we could add value to the brand, that we could help build brand loyalty and improve adherence. And so that's where we started to innovate with Bayer, with Humana, with GSK, with Sanofi, with Weight Watchers, and all these brands helped us develop and test the product in the real world while they paid for us to exist.
So you focused on the business and the business model from day one.
Correct.
And I think that's a very valuable lesson for a lot of startups. A lot of people focus on raising money first and then building their business model. What do you recommend? Obviously, you did it the other way. What are some of the pros and cons from your experience of doing it the way you've done it?
Well, everybody first has to look inside whether they have the fortitude to do this and whether they have, you know, family obligations to take care of, and are they ready to make the
step. To bootstrap, basically.
To bootstrap. I worked weekends and nights while I was at Microsoft because I have a family to take care of. And when I saw that moment when I could see the business, it's very similar to like starting a triathlon where you just jump in the water. I just resigned and went and didn't look back. And it's really important to have that commitment, because if you're looking in your rearview mirror, you it slows you down. So you really have to find that moment when you're just ready to make that 100% commitment. And then I was really fortunate to work with some great people on the team who were innovators, great board of directors. There were some moments, candidly, that were down, just like there were moments that were up. But if you really figure out your business plan and you really plan and forecast the financials, you can make it work. It keeps you focused and enables you to find those sweet moments when, you know, you could look, okay, achieve this milestone. Now I'm ready to move to the next one.
You know, one of our investors, Mark Cuban, talks about how sales solves everything. Was there a moment where you realized, wow, this business is working, it's a real business, but we need capital to really take it to the next level?
Absolutely. You really have a thriving business when you have customers willing to pay for your product. And we had that, and then we went, and about 2 years ago, it was the first time we had multiple clients at one time. So we started to see the growth. Our patient volumes were increasing by over 4 times. And earlier this year, we hit profitability. So we could have grown organically and, you know, increased market share and sales in a slower ramp, or we could have taken on capital and really accelerate, not only for diabetes, but we have companies coming to us to improve adherence and patient programs for diseases other than diabetes. So we said, let's bring on the capital, let's work with partners who get it, and let's hire staff that we could really make a big impact in the landscape.
So what was your experience like? You know, a lot of people watching today or are entrepreneurs thinking about raising a seed round or perhaps an A round. What were some of your biggest lessons learned during that experience?
A great lesson learned is it's never too early to build a network. And for a while, I was so heads down on the business that I wasn't building my investor network, so that when the moment comes, you can approach them and say, okay, I've achieved these 3 milestones. And by the way, I've been letting you know about it every few months. So they're kind of seeing your progression, and then do the raise. So I think, one, it's never too early to build that network. Number two, investors want to see some type of traction, whether it's customers growing or patient volume increasing or innovation awards, something where you're showing momentum. And you have to define what is that momentum going to be for your business and how you're going to demonstrate it. And then number three, you really need a business plan. It doesn't have to be this big complicated document, but I get total clarity whenever I work on our financials for the next 3 years. It breaks everything down to cash flow and what money you need to hit certain revenue targets. I can't recommend that enough. If you don't have the personal skills, have someone else do it and then have them explain it. But those were 3 things that for me were totally helpful as I progressed.
And as CEO, founder of this company that's truly a mission, how do you balance your time then when you're focusing on really a growing business? You've got amazing world-class brands and customers that you're servicing, working to build your business, but you're also out raising money, and that's a process. How many months did it take?
It was on
or years.
It was ongoing for years, though I stopped a few times, and I got some good guidance, candidly, from Startup Health about you know, the business is working. Make sure your business is working. And so I did take some breaks and focus and make sure we kept hitting the milestones. But it really is challenging as far as the amount of time it takes. So the more, again, the more focused you could be on what are the key metrics that you need to demonstrate investors, who are the potential investors that you want the relationship with, that you should nurture. And usually you need a lead time. You have to give time for that to, you know, there are people who raise money quickly in a few months, but more often
I think those are like mythology sort of stories or unicorn stories.
Exactly. More often the investors want to see some type of traction and momentum, client growth, as we just talked about.
Yeah. Okay, so shifting gears a little, a lot of good nuggets there. Want to learn a little bit more about you. What are so we already know you've done Ironmans, you've done, I think, what was the race from Alcatraz?
I did that within a few months after being diagnosed with diabetes. That was a little bold of me. I didn't tell my wife or family.
Wow, that's and so. What's your routine like? How do you stay healthy as a startup CEO with diabetes, working all the time? What's your morning routine? What's your daily routine like for staying healthy?
Trick for us, my wife and I fortunately share the same passion for fitness, and she was nice enough on my 50th birthday to run across the Grand Canyon with me. That was on my bucket list. So, you know, we train together, get up early, and that
is... You do this every day?
Every day. And normal routine on a Sunday, up at 5 o'clock, train, go to the office. And it's a priority for us, and we made friends through this community. So when you're out biking with somebody in Central Park in the dark, they become your friends sooner or later.
Yeah.
And I've met some good people. In fact, one of our board of advisors, I met in the swimming pool, Darren, who was on the board of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Darren Court.
Yeah, so yeah. You meet some great people out there who have the focus and the discipline to be out. But again, for me, it not only feels good, but it sharpens my edge for the day as a CEO, and it really brings me strength as a person dealing with diabetes. And just those three things, it's a must, you know, it's a must do.
How about some favorite books that have either been meaningful to you or really helped you as an entrepreneur that you might recommend to others listening?
A few books that I really love, Rules for Renegades, which is Christine Comerford's book, is a great motivational sales book because she has some great experiences in there about things that she's done and how to deal with rejection and overcome it. Blueprint for a Billion, which is something I'm reading now, which is helping distill some of the seven top thoughts about how to take a company to a $1 billion company. And the section about a board of directors is one I'm very focused on now because we have some great board directors, but what's the strategic steps to take and who are the right board members to grow our company, you know, by 50 times? And
this is one of our favorite books and also one of our favorite things that we coach all of the startup health companies on is creating this $1 billion board. What are some of those parameters that you're looking for as you're building out the board for Fit for D?
Well, it's really interesting, and the book was really highlighted for me because everybody has different opinions on what makes a great board member. But you want somebody that has experience growing a business to $1 billion.
And that's from like zero, right?
From zero.
They understand a startup really, really small,
right,
through growth.
Exactly. I mean, I changed it to 500 million because I knew there's a larger pool, but you want somebody who's been there and done it and really can give you guidance that's meaningful. There's also a thought about bringing board directors who have complementary strengths that really partner with the management. Maybe they run an organization that's very sales focused, and a big step for the company is to really build a really great sales and marketing team. So they could be from another industry. They don't have to be from healthcare, but they come in and they work with the management team to make that part of the infrastructure work. And so it's really exciting for me now to have this view, now that we have the capital, to bring on people that take us to that $1 billion mark.
So what's next for you and Fit for D? You've just raised a round. You're building your $1 billion board. What's coming up next, and what's the future look like for Fit for D?
I see pharma clients coming on at a natural rate within diabetes, and then eventually by next year, as we start to scale outside diabetes, helping other chronic diseases like MS and others where they need this scalable balance between human contact and technology. Having said that, the payer opportunity is very significant, and now that we have demonstrated expertise, we won an innovation award with New York City last year, we did a pilot with Health First, we moved to a full rollout with Health First, we've lowered the A1C, these were for people who were poorly controlled diabetics in the city of New York, one-third was Spanish speaking. So to me, that whole payer market is untapped for us.
And now that you have an ACO that's a strategic investor, you have a payer that's a strategic investor, I believe it's Blue Cross of Nebraska.
Yes.
Does that help you on that mission?
Absolutely. And we're working very closely with them to leverage their expertise in expanding into that market. There's such need out there, and the distribution channels, although we talked about payer and pharma, they're really endless. And as this industry continues to evolve, it could be pharmacies, it could be, you know, other retailers. We're seeing a lot of change in healthcare right now. So telemedicine regulations are coming on. There's so much that we can do. The trick for us was having something that worked, something that built a relationship with a person with diabetes and demonstrated some health outcome. This improved adherence or outcomes. Now it's about using sales and marketing to distribute Fit for D everywhere and really change people's lives.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for your mission and doing everything that you're doing to try to help people with diabetes. This is a global epidemic, as you said, and I think there's a lot of work still to be done, so it's good to have healthcare transformers like you focused on that mission. So really appreciate you being here and everything you do. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We will see you next week for another great episode of Startup Health Now. Thank you.